T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Carl Banks Report is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. By Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, and by York Install Confidence. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how man. Good. How are you guys doing?
We're good, by the way. I want to compliment you. Congratulate you. You said the Giants would win last week. You felt good about this game. And I know Evan and I, neither of us felt they'd win this game.
No.
But good job by you. You called it. Now, maybe not exactly the way you drew it up with the way the game ended. But good job by you, Carl.
Well, I thought there was some areas where the Giants' needle was pointing in the right direction offensively. So I thought they could pose some problems, especially where the offensive line, once they start engaging up front, that Barkley could get some things done. And, you know, the fact that they were playing the number two defense in football and they were only giving up 5 yards a carry worked for the Giants, because 3.5, you get them in a 3rd and 3, they're going to be okay, because you have the option with Barkley. So I thought that, kind of, as weird as it sounds, kind of played into the Giants' favor. Early in the game, you know, the offense struggled because they were playing a good defense. They had some of their own miscues as well. But I think as a whole, this was their best team win. Now, they're still flawed in a lot of areas, and there's still a ton of room for improvement. But this was probably their best win as a team, because they just didn't decide, well, we played hard enough. They finished the game.
Well, that's the thing. When you blow a 10-point lead with a minute and a half to go, you can easily just crawl up and die.
Sure.
Yep.
And
no,
that's
doubt
not
about
what
it.
Happened. They got lucky with the coin toss, but, hey, they took advantage of it. They marched down the field, and then the defense was able to make a big stop to just end it. So they did show a lot of poise in bouncing back from what was a horrendous minute and a half collapse.
Well, it was, and there was just so many things you can point to where you can say, well, this is how they could have lost the game, but the operative word is could have, I guess, because – in a week ago, they would have lost this game. They would have had just been played just good enough to lose. And so now they're doing the things that will help them win football games. Impressive was their defense. You know, they had some plays hit against them, but they had every guy for the whole game where they were supposed to be. Now, he dropped the wide open interception that could have put this game out of control a little bit too. But they really went to school on the Chicago Bears offense in terms of all the window dressing and all of this stuff. Because if ever there were a game where this defense, you'd see a bunch of guys running around like it's a fire drill, it would have been against the Chicago Bears, because they give so many formations and give you so many looks. But you had guys that played really well. I was totally impressed with Alec Ogletree, not on his interception for the touchdown, but the second interception where he had to pattern read and pattern match. He had a shallow crosser go across his face, and he dropped back. Instead of jumping that and opening up the window for a deep crosser, he sunk back into that window and got an interception. And that's impressive, because it's so tempting, and they got him with something similar to that in the Philadelphia game. So I thought that was really good, the way they played defense yesterday. And, again, like I said, it wasn't perfect. Cohen lit him up, but you have to live with some of that stuff sometimes.
And that interception, the second one, the first one jumps out of you because he returns it for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But the second one, the Bears are at the Giant 20-yard line.
Sure.
And it was right after just a stupid penalty by Mario Edwards.
And the pick by Eli threw.
Right.
It was right after Eli threw the pick, too.
So it short circuits what looked like was going to be Chicago points. It was a big moment in the game.
Yeah, and so they stepped up. They, like I said, this was as good of a team win as it's been this year. They played as a team this year. They picked each other up. When one team, one side of the ball was down, the other side stepped up. And same when, you know, when they gave up the points late in the game, the offense came back right back down the field and drove it in for a score. So this was the complimentary football that I had been waiting to see, where these guys are finally starting to get it. There's still some things to go, but the resilience, the fact that they really worked in complement of each other, all phases, and it, none of it was perfect, but I thought they did things that really helped the other side of the ball.
You know, and I know a lot of things changed after this play happened, you know, and when the way the game ended and everything. But the Barkley run right before halftime on third and 23, whatever it was, after the back-to-back sacks, to me, was probably the biggest play in the game. It got the Giants back in the game, and it, you know, set up that field goal. I mean, everything kind of changed after that run.
It absolutely did. And when you're in third and 23 or whatever the distance was, there's no play in the playbook for that. It takes right, – and right. coaches call it a throwaway play, but when you have that level of player – and you see teams do it all the time. They'll get a guy in space and see if he can make something of it. And that's what Saquon Barkley did. I mean, that was just a spectacular play. And I know that was a jolt of energy for this team, because then it set them up to get a score. And, you know, this kicker has been phenomenal for them. He kicks a record field goal.
Yeah. And it was – those two things have to happen for us to remember that play, right? I mean, if they don't kick a field goal, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Red Ellison – 7-yard catch, getting out of bounds with a second left. Not exactly a lot of time. That was big, too, because a 64-yarder is probably asking too much. Of course, it's, unless it's against the Giants to win a game, then it's fine. Then it's fine. But to get it to 57 yards involved a big play by Red Ellison, too.
No, it did. And this is, again, the way this team played, they were so in tune and focused for the entire game. And that's, I mean, that's impressive for a team that's been struggling all year. Basically got, you know, their feelings hurt last week against the Eagles, and you didn't know what team was going to show up, but they continue to talk about how together they are, how much they believe in each other, how much they're not going to quit on each other, and you can start to see it turning a bit. You can see that whatever Coach Shurmur is doing in terms of the culture of winning, the culture of team, the culture of sticking together, you're starting to see it take hold. Because this was a classic game, like I said, for a defense that just looked totally discombobulated last week. In every phase, run, pass, alignment, assignment. And then the Chicago Bears comes in, and I'm like, boy, this could be a nightmare, because they got so much going on before the ball is snapped. And these guys were locked in from, you know, every motion. You could see all the communication on the field. So it shows me that they took a little pride in how they played the week before, and they didn't want to look like that again. And they played. They played well, like I said. But, you know, they still have gaps. They have holes. They have weaknesses. But what happens when you're a team that's not stacked with talent at every position, your best chance to win or your best chance at success is to be where you're supposed to be and make the other team beat you with their best people. Mm. And because the Chicago Bears, playing with a backup quarterback, they didn't have the huge playmaking ability at that position, it benefited the Giants in that, hey, let's see if the other guys can beat us, and let's see if this quarterback can beat us without the improvisation of the other guy. So they did a really good job of locking in on all the window dressing, not getting fooled and giving up big plays. And I gave up one down on the goal line. Some confusion there. One guy was lost in space. But for the most part, they were pretty locked in defensively on what their assignments were. And when you do that, better teams will struggle to find plays if they're not having the success that they've always been accustomed to or seeing on film against you.
You know, and I thought Khalil Mack, who had his moments, I mean, he really did. I mean, he had that sack late in the game where he took the Giants out of field goal range when he sacked Eli.
Yeah.
I thought he had his moments in the game, call, but I thought overall, the deep offensive line, I know you got that those back-to-back sacks before halftime and all that. I thought the offensive line, and this has been one of the reasons that they've turned it around 3-1 since the bye, has played a lot better. And I thought Solder did a pretty decent job on Mack. controlled him maybe as well as maybe you can control a guy like that. You know what I
mean?
Well,
yeah, and I think, you know, in terms of players who can wreck a game, and he's certainly one of those guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I had some things to say about him on the air, but he's a hell of a football player, and they did do a good job on him. He did not wreck the game.
Right, right.
He did not have one of those games like he had against the Seattle Seahawks where he just was all over, you know, he, Aaron Donald, those type of guys, just all of us, and J.J. Watt, when they want to turn it on, they can just wreck it. They didn't allow him to do that. Yeah, he made plays because he's Khalil Mack. I made a few observations during the game because I don't think he's a very effective player when you run at him. And I said if teams were smart, they would not be afraid of him. They would run at him mm-hmm. and make him play three downs or make him earn the third down pass rush, because there were a few occasions where he got pancaked in the Giants game, took himself out of the game, standing on the sidelines. And that's what you have to do to those types of players. You gotta challenge them at what they're not good at. You can't take the challenge of, okay, we got to stop this guy because he's a hell of a pass rusher. We got to figure out. No, you got to make him figure out how to get to third down. And if he stops your run once, make him prove that it wasn't a lucky thing. Make him prove that he can do it every single down. Because when you have dominant players in one phase of the game, you're rolling the dice. Because eventually he's going to get what he's good at. But if you're good at running the football, don't run away from him. Run at him.
Right.
Run at him until he can stop it. And if he stops it once, make him prove he can do it over and over again. Because that's the only way you neutralize these types of players. If they're as good as they say they are, then they'll make a play on every down like a guy like J.J. Watt. And like I say, I'm not bashing. I love watching Khalil Mack. But from a strategic standpoint, I'm going to challenge him to stop me in every phase of the game. Well, I'm not going to give him what he wants.
It's not fair to Khalil Mack that someone has to bring up, and I forget who it was, a reporter to Belichick, saying, hey, is he Lawrence Taylor? Well, of course he's not Lawrence Taylor.
You know, nobody is.
That's proven that, every week.
Right. So. And I know you say that, and someone will say, well, you're bashing Khalil Mack. You're not bashing Khalil Mack. He's not Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor's one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
it's not fair to him.
Well, here's the thing about it, and that's what Belichick went out and proved, too, because that's what he did to Khalil Mack. He says, okay, well, I know Lawrence Taylor. If I run at him, he'll make a play. They ran at him every chance they got, and that was the most quiet game he had all season.
Yeah, Mack hasn't been the same guy since the first 5 weeks of the year.
Well, he's had some injuries to deal with.
The injuries slowed him down.
He's had some injuries to deal with. And, I mean, listen, I enjoy – Von Miller, J.J. Watt, those kids, I love watching them play because they are game wreckers. Aaron Donald – game wreckers. I love watching them. I like disruptive football players. But like I said, from a strategic standpoint, if I had to coach against him, that's my game plan. I'm coming at him.
Mm. We're talking to Carl Banks. Did you, and I'm sure you're not surprised, that an issue was made out of Odell Beckham on the onside kick. My reaction was, you know what, look at where this season is. Look how valuable Odell is. Would I even want him jumping into a pile? As important as that play may be in a game, I don't think I want to risk that.
Well, the optics of it is where everybody's up in arms. But if you really want to look at the operation of that play, the guy in front of him was supposed to be blocking. The guy that got the ball was not even supposed to get it. I think Hunter was up front. And once that ball cleared Hunter's job is to get the guy that's running right in front of him, and he didn't get him. And that's why the tight end was able to fall on the ball, and Odell tried to swat it away. So the optics are bad, but the operation was bad to begin with. My bigger issue with the game that Odell had, it was one play that I thought he could have done better that really impacted more so than the onside kick, even though the onside kick was important, was the interception that Eli Manning threw. Timing route, the cornerback jumped his route. He did not come out of his break hard enough to disrupt that and cause an incompletion. It ended up being an interception. That's the one play that I saw that I had an issue with. The onside kick, like I said, the operation was flawed and the optics were bad with him going in there swatting the ball, but I get what you're saying. He's back there to catch the one hoppers. I don't know if he's the guy that goes in and torpedoes, but, yeah, you would like to see him try to jump on the pot of goal. He didn't. But the interception was the one that I had a bigger problem with.
I'll tell you, nice pass he threw there. To see Shepard open like he did, because it looked like he was going to run. Then he runs up to the line of scrimmage pretty much, saw Shepard wide open, and all he had to do was put it out there.
Yeah, he did a good job. Listen, he did a good job of setting that up, too, because he really sold run. He sold pass, and then he sold run again.
Yep.
And, you know, just to look down the field, and he said it wasn't a play that they had in the playbook. So he just kind of was opportunistic and saw it open and threw it. And it was just a great play, both he and Shepard. It was, you know, tantamount to a basketball play, a guy running the fast break. You catch him, you throw the alley-oop to him, and that was a pretty good play for them.
Carl, good stuff. We appreciate
Carl,
it. Good talking.
Always a pleasure, Carl.
Thank you, man.
Carl Banks, a positive Carl Banks after the Giants.
He called
defeat.
He said they'd win this game.
He did. He had a good feeling about it, and he was right. He was 100% right. They beat a first-place team. Think about that for a second.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.